WMRA News. I'm Bob Levicky. State officials take additional steps to combat a surge of COVID-19 in Hampton Roads, particularly among young people. A giant hologram of the image of George Floyd covers the Lee Monument in Richmond, kicking off a tour of the new project that will follow the path of the Freedom Riders almost 60 years ago. And all the stressors from the pandemic, isolation, unemployment, uncertainty, fear, can lead to an increase in suicidal thoughts. And we talk to local suicide prevention experts next in our Mental Health Matters series. This is the WMRA Daily for Wednesday, July 29th. State officials are taking additional steps to combat a surge of COVID-19 in Hampton Roads, Virginia Public Radio's Nick Gilmore reports.
18.6%, the positivity rate some areas in Hampton Roads recorded over the weekend. It's a statistic Governor Ralph Northam cited Tuesday as the reason why he has issued an executive and public health order for the region set to go into effect on Friday.
First, no alcohol will be sold or consumed on site after 10 p.m., and all restaurants must close by midnight. Second, indoor dining will be limited to 50% capacity. Third, public and private social gatherings of more than 50 individuals are prohibited.
Northam said other areas of the state are either holding steady or have seen recent smaller increases in new virus cases. He indicated that similar restrictions could be established in other parts of the Commonwealth should COVID-19 reemerge. The governor's announcement came after he and other top state health officials met with Dr. Deborah Birx, a White House expert working to guide the nation's coronavirus response. She said states like Arizona and Texas have been successful in reining in the virus by closing bars that could not maintain proper social distancing guidelines. I'm Nick Gilmore.
A Virginia health official told the Associated Press last week that Virginia Beach and Norfolk have seen a significant increase in virus cases among people under the age of 40, particularly among people in their 20s. Factors behind the surge include gatherings of friends and family members who are not wearing masks or keeping a safe physical distance. Local governments across the Commonwealth will soon get another check as they continue to fight against COVID-19. Governor Northam announced the new funding during Tuesday's press conference.
This week, we will begin the process of distributing the second half of Federal CARES Act money to Virginia localities, almost $645 million.
The CARES Act requires states to give 15% of the funding to local governments. Northam said Virginia has gone above and beyond that, allocating nearly half of the money to localities. The family of George Floyd witnessed the unveiling of a hologram in Richmond Tuesday night. The flickering lights came together to create an image of Floyd's head and shoulders transposed over the statue of Confederate General Robert E. Lee. The event on historic Monument Avenue was the first public unveiling of the George Floyd Hologram Memorial Project. The Richmond Times-Dispatch reports that the project's week-long tour will take it to a number of cities in North Carolina and Georgia, mirroring the route of the 1961 Freedom Rides. The hologram features a myriad of lights that swarm like fireflies to form into a 3D image of Floyd, with his name depicted around his image. The tour is organized by Change.org and the George Floyd Foundation. Floyd, a black man, was killed by police in Minneapolis. Local governments across Virginia are taking steps to bring down Confederate statues, but one community on the Eastern Shore is taking a different approach. Virginia Public Radio's Michael Pope reports.
Earlier this year, the town council in Parksley on the Eastern Shore was considering the fate of the town's Confederate statue. Ultimately, council members decided they should look into selling it to the Sons of Confederate Veterans for $1. Julie Nash was on the town council at the time, and she voted in favor of the idea.
So that we could just be free of the controversy, not to preserve it, not because we are taking a stance either way. It was easier just to not take a stance and let someone else handle it.
The vote was unanimous, and nobody spoke in opposition.
If there was one vote I could go take back, it would be that one.
Town Council member Dan Matthews voted in favor of the idea, but now he's changed his position.
It seems as if we were trying to sneak one past the goalie so that when all the attention in the world comes down to our monument, we can say, well, it's not ours, it's theirs. And it seems to me as a way to avoid conflict and avoid the conversation.
For now, that conversation is on hold because of legal uncertainties about exactly who owns the statue and the land it's on. Meanwhile, other proposals are emerging for how to deal with the statue. One is to install a plaque, adding more context to the story. Another proposal is to remove it altogether and install a new statue honoring the contributions of Black Virginians. I'm Michael Pope.
Finally today, the social isolation, economic instability, concerns about well-being, all resulting from the pandemic, have spurred an increase in symptoms of depression and anxiety in many of us. And for some people, that means an increase in suicidal thoughts. That worries local mental health care providers and trainers. In the next part of our series, Mental Health Matters, WMRA's Randy B. Hagee reports.
Rates of death by suicide have been on the rise in Virginia since 2003, when the CDC's National Violent Death Reporting System database begins for the state. And while we won't know the pandemic's impact on the number of suicides for at least a year and a half, mental health care professionals are concerned.
It's been something that's been worrisome to many of us for a while now, and COVID just took it over the top because we just have never experienced anything like this.
Jane Wiggins is the director of the Campus Suicide Prevention Center of Virginia.
Knowing the level of convergence of risk factors, that so many things that we know are hard on people are coming together all at once, like financial insecurity and loss of health, loss of a whole range of different kinds of supports, loss of connectedness, which is huge. Connectedness is a hugely protective factor.
Wiggins coordinates suicide prevention and intervention trainings for clinicians, college staff, and lay people all over the state. They're gearing up to offer socially distanced in-person trainings again in August, but have still been able to offer a lot of their workshops via video conference. One, called a gatekeeper or natural helper training, is meant to
help them figure out what it is they really want, which usually is not death. What people really want is usually something else, like, you know, escape or relief, a change. It's more about finding relief from overwhelming distress than it is about truly wanting death.
James Madison University is one of the institutions that offers trainings from the center, as well as their own counseling staff. Since 2005, staff counselor Janice Lewis says their counseling center has seen more than a 900% increase in students making crisis appointments.
We realize that on average, 30% of the about 2,000 students who visit our center each year report that they've experienced some suicidal thoughts in their lifetime. We definitely want to encourage that recognizing mental health needs and seeking support when that is needed is a sign of strength.
JMU has been able to offer expanded mental health services throughout the pandemic, such as telehealth emergency support and counseling services. The Harrisonburg City Public Schools have also stayed in contact with their students during the pandemic, with support staff reaching out to kids and families.
When we think about suicide prevention in the schools, we really think of the overall focus on mental health, well-being.
April Howard is the division's chief officer for student support. Her team regularly partners with the McNulty Center for Children and Families, a part of the Harrisonburg-Rockingham Community Services Board, to provide mental health services to city students.
What the counselors are providing is more of a screening to make that determination of what additional support may be needed or intervention.
One thing that's unique to working with adolescent and high school students is that they may not want a parent to know when they're in a crisis. But if they are at risk of harming themselves, school and mental health counselors may have to bring in other professionals.
As a counselor, they let a student know of those exceptions, that when there's potential harm to themselves or to others, that they have to let someone else know.
Social worker Robin Breeden is experienced in speaking with youth and adults with suicidal ideation through her work on the psychiatric evaluation team in Sentara RMH's emergency room. She's also a life recovery coordinator at the hospital's Behavioral Health Outpatient Center.
If I know that they have a history of suicidal ideation, we will always address that. How is your suicide thoughts today? So we talk about it. We're just upfront about it. We don't kind of pretend it's not there. And then we go see, okay, what are the coping skills that we have developed that we're going to utilize to help us through it?
The outpatient center offers socially distanced in-person and telehealth services, including group counseling, individual therapy, recovery programs, and partial hospitalization when necessary. Another organization, On Our Own of Charlottesville, acted quickly this spring to ensure their members could access their peer support services. Director Aaron Tucker said they purchased laptops or smartphones and 6 months of internet for about 15 of their members who wouldn't have had access otherwise. The staff follows up.
They call, they text, they email, or they make some type of contact with our members every single day. They report back to myself and my program manager. That way we can see if there's any holes, like somebody that's not responding.
In our next installment on suicide prevention, we'll hear from Aaron Tucker and Charlottesville resident Chrisann Raymond about Chrisann's son Luke, who died by suicide earlier this summer and is dearly missed. If you or someone you know is considering suicide, please tell a friend or loved one and contact available resources, such as your local community services board, hospital, or the National Suicide Prevention Hotline at 1-800-273-8255. For WMRA News, I'm Randy Behagy.
You'll find links to resources and more information about suicide prevention at WMRA.org and on the WMRA app. Support for our Mental Health Matters series comes from WMRA's News and Information Fund. For WMRA News, I'm Bob Levicky. Thanks for listening. Stay safely connected and enjoy your Wednesday.